Funds for Bookworm are provided in part by Lannan Foundation.
Books. Where would we be without books? Where would we be without Gutenberg? Even the thought of it's so absurd. Where would we be without books? Where would we be without books? Where would we be without Gutenberg? It's a rhetorical question, sir, but where would we be without books?
From KCRW and KCRW.com, you may recognize that song, but it's not the way you usually hear it. I have in my studio with me Michael Silverblatt, Ron and Russell Mail, who wrote the theme song for Bookworm, and they're here. They're here because they have an astounding new record. It's called Hippopotamus. Sparks is one of the bands who've made the crunch. They've passed through the sonic barriers, and now their records are coming out on an actual label, BMG.
And about time, I'd say.
Yes. And well, their last several albums have been recorded in their home. And this is from BMG. They're being sent on a tour, Europe and Los Angeles. They are Los Angeles boys, and there's no chance that I am going to miss the opportunity to talk to them, because as many of you have heard, as far as I'm concerned, if you don't like Sparks, you can't be my friend. Because somehow or other, they manage to combine everything that matters to me and to my generation. That is to say, we loved the craziness, the originality of books, and we loved rock and roll. And we loved rock and roll best when it could be art rock, when it knew how to take things up into a different level than being just a song with a chorus stuck onto it. And believe it or not, this record, called Hippopotamus, is their 23rd record. I'm going to play a song, the first song on the album. It's very short. It's called Probably Nothing. The songwriters are Ron and Russell Mail. They are brothers. First, Probably Nothing.
Probably nothing. Some little story, no nothing, not yet. Probably nothing. Don't try to think of it, then it'll come. Happens a lot lately, I feel so dumb. It'll come when it comes. But I still feel so dumb. Something to tell you, but now I forget. Probably nothing. Let's just forget it, the sun's gonna set. I'm sure it was nothing. Why are you looking at me in that way? What was it that you thought I would now say? My disappointment shown now in the way that you woke away. You woke away.
Who are you singing that song to, Russell?
Well, I mean, in our version of the song, I mean, the guy's singing it to his girlfriend, and he's saying, you know, I had something to tell you, but now I forgot. But it's probably nothing. I think it's just one of those incidents where, you know, it happens all the time. I mean, something that I liked about the song, Ron wrote the lyrics, but something that I like about it, it is sort of a trivial little situation, but then when you focus on it in the lyrics of a song, then it becomes magnified and it becomes this thing that, you know, it happens. The guy said it happens a lot lately. I feel so dumb. And that situation happens to everyone. But the fact that it's was written into this song. I think that's what sets it apart in a certain way.
There's obviously something really specific that she's waiting to hear and that he can't deliver, and that kind of is a deal breaker.
Oh, that's great, because, see, I took the song to be about the idea that if you grew up with rock and roll, if you grew up singing and listening to songs, you can sing about anything. You can sing about anything at all. In this case, what's being sung about is, I'm not asking you to marry me. I had something to say, and you've been expecting me to say it, but I forgot what it was, and it was probably nothing, and no one knows how to say this thing in a song anymore. It's old-fashioned and doesn't make sense. I love you and I want to marry you. Can there be such a song? In the 30s, in the 40s, sure. Today, who would sing it?
Yeah.
Sparks.
Oh, yeah. I think it's great.
And we're always trying to reframe cliched situations in a certain way, but put them in a lyrical context that maybe is fresher than the norm. I mean, too many songs for us are just songs about songs. They're about just the generic kind of title that you hear, and it kind of just washes past you, and maybe to a fault in some of our songs, but we like to have attention-getting devices in certain ways, you know, with, you know, proper nouns or names, or and try to kind of almost work backwards sometimes to figure out where does it go from here, like a puzzle that you're figuring out where to go.
In my mind, the song is a dialogue in which always, as I hear your songs, I hear Ron having written a song and Russell amplifying it in a certain way, so that the manner in which you sing the song, Probably Nothing, is heartbreaking. The song was written to say, in a certain sense, I don't have a heart, and I'm not going to express what the heart has to say. And the voice singing the song says, oh, I have something that's so important, it's probably nothing, I'm afraid to say it. You know, I might be rejected, I might be anything. And I find the meeting point of the contradiction incredibly moving. I think it can only be done by brothers. because, you know, you've been together long enough that you can contradict each other in a meaningful way.
Huh? No, that's. I mean, that's so beautifully expressed. Because I mean, the difference. One difference. You know, I kind of think a lot the difference between just lyrics or poetry and then a song. And so much of it is how it's delivered. Where, you know, if you're reading something on the page, it's kind of more open to a certain interpretation. But where it's somebody singing, they're kind of pinpointing how it should be. And you know we've had certain of our songs covered, but in general people are really afraid to touch them, and Russell really, you know, he's really the only one that can kind of deliver them. And we never even talk about it. There's no meetings that we have about anything, actually, and there's no kind of discussion of how the thing should be. I mean, it's kind of an unspoken thing, especially at this point, about the delivery of the songs.
I'm talking to Ron and Russell Mail of Sparks, and they're talking to me, Bookworm. I wouldn't be foolish enough and say their biggest fan, but a huge and dedicated admirer. The second song on Hippopotamus, and I'd like you to all hear it first. It's a song called Missionary Position. It's the last thing you expect an adventurous love song to be about. I mean, the missionary position is what you perhaps started with in the hopes that you'd be ending somewhere else. I'm really thrilled They perform these things live on Bookworm. Here's the missionary position.
It's a little retro and a bit bossy, but you know you make her feel okay, and she feels all right. The stars are bright, the missionary position, and the acrobats, well, they tend to scoff. All you know is that you can get her off, and she feels all right. The stars are bright, the missionary position. The tried and true is good enough for me and you, for me and you. The tried and true is good enough. Don't need any more, we don't need any more. A rebranding effort might just be the thing, but a name's a name and we're continuing. Always feeling fine, it ain't the wine, it's the missionary position. There are pros and cons to each different pose, but I don't see any need to get to those, cause we're feeling great, a heightened state, the missionary position. The tried and true is good enough for me and you, for me and you. The tried and true is good enough. We don't need any more, we don't need any more. Don't need any more, we don't need any more. Recommend, but I don't know if we'll ever get to them, cause we're feeling fine, it ain't the wine, it's the missionary position. You might drive yourself, you're so avant-garde, but with the classicist, a kiss in heart, which are nice and like, who we both like, the missionary position. Missionary, 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 missionary. It's a private matter as to frequency, but we both are smiling as you well can see. And it ain't no joke, it ain't baroque, it's the missionary position. It's a little retro and a bit bossy, but you know you make her feel okay, and she feels alright, the stars are bright, the missionary position.
That was the missionary position. It was done here in a stripped-down version, especially for Bookworm, especially for our listeners at KCRW. So here we are. It's a little retro and a bit passé, but you know you make her feel A-OK. Well, when you put retro and A-OK together, A-OK was the word they used around Cape Canaveral in the 60s. How are things? A-OK. The astronauts said it. And this is a song in which people who never stop singing and thinking in pop songs think, hey, the missionary position. She feels great, and so do I. And, you know, it's perfectly fine now. Let the acrobats have their kind of fancy avant-garde lovemaking. We're classicists.
Neoclassicists.
Neoclassicists.
At our heart, yeah.
Yeah, what an idea. How did you get that, Ron?
Well, so much of rock music is kind of, there's this kind of bravado, you know, and so sometimes we like to turn things on their heads and the idea that everybody else is kind of being artistic and experimental, even in the area of sexual relations, this person thinks that experimentation period, you know, is kind of over for them, and they're kind of returning to the tried and true, and, you know, championing something that's old fashioned, but been around for a long time, and kind of been around a long time because there's a reason why it's been around a long time. That's not the trendiest position to have in songs, but that probably is why we used it.
Well, it's also great suddenly, as if the singer has woken from a stupor. He sings missionary, 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 as if it's the last thing you expect to hear in a song. And here he is repeating it, making sure that you just heard what he said. Yeah. What is it like when you're singing that? It takes the song over suddenly.
Yeah, well, it's just kind of, you know, making an emphatic statement about it, just in case you hadn't gotten the point up to that time, I guess, is what that section of the song represents.
I mean, most other bands would have "We Will Rock You" and keep repeating that over and over again, but we kind of repeat "Missionary," and it starts, after a while, it becomes some kind of mantra where it takes on a different kind of meaning, more than just it just becomes like the sound.
The other thing about that is too that hasn't been mentioned. I mean, there's the lyrical side of it, but I think the melody of the song enhances that feeling of what the lyric is saying. There's something sort of, I don't know, a bittersweet sort of tone to the melody that Ron wrote for that song. So I think the two go hand in hand, actually, as well, to kind of convey a certain feeling. If you hear the lyrics on their own, you get one impression of what this is. But when it's, you know, it sounds sort of basic, but when it is combined with the melody, I think it takes on another character as well.
And it's also really fun, you know, from my perspective, to play with the idea that of the music either being in tandem with the meaning of the lyrics or being contrary to it. And that's something you can do with songwriting that you can't do with just writing poetry, where you can kind of play with the context of what is being written, that what is being seen on the page or heard, it's being kind of contradicted somehow by this strong musical sense.
I'm Michael Silverblatt, and you're listening to Bookworm from the studios of KCRW, a studio that's being graced by the presence of Ron and Russell Mail of the rock group Sparks. Ron and Russell Mail have, believe it or not, never performed live in the studio before, and we're thrilled to have them. We're talking to them about their work, and in fact, how the same devices that I would use to read a story or a poem are what I use to hear a Sparks song, and how happy it makes me to be taken beyond the simple into both the ingenious and the heartfelt. It's a kind of strange simultaneity that makes me feel very proud that they are the people who wrote my theme song. We'll continue after this short break.
I want to tell you about a new show from the Financial Times called Life and Art from FT Weekend, hosted by me, Lila Raptopoulos. Life and Art is twice a week. On Mondays, I have a guest on to talk about life and how to live a good one. Everything from winter travel to cooking to living more creatively. And on Fridays, we talk art. Two FT journalists and I discuss a piece of culture that's in the air. New music, movies, and more. Find Life and Art from FT Weekend wherever you listen.
I'm Michael Silverblatt. This is Bookworm, and I'm talking with Ron and Russell Mail of the rock group Sparks about their work. That song, The Missionary Position, is incredibly sweet. You were saying melancholy, but I hear a kind of old-fashioned, you'd look sweet upon the seat of a bicycle built for two quality in it, that, you know, we once courted in this way. maybe, yeah.
No, that's like a beautiful way. I mean, there, hopefully there's a sincerity by the person that is the narrator of the song that they are, it isn't being done in kind of a wink-wink sort of way, that there really is a sincerity and a belief by the singer in championing the missionary position. The song isn't being sung from the standpoint of, isn't that guy silly?
It's ironic,
yeah. It's being done that this is somebody who truly believes that. And you know, you hate to bring up words like sweetness, because then it makes us seem like we're less rockheads somehow. But there is a sweetness, I think, to that character who is so passionate about that position.
Exactly. You see, I think that these songs are smart and witty, but funny and sad and dear to me, at least, and that they were meant to be, and they've been growing dearer and dearer as you've been studying. You did a project for a movie about Ingmar Bergman, about how he comes to America and doesn't do a Swedish uninterpretable movie. Greta Garbo rescues him and brings him home, but he finds out what Hollywood is. It's a very funny project still to be achieved, just like the Project Annette that Leos Carax is going to be filming. Remind me who the stars are.
Well, right at the moment, we know that Michelle Williams is going to be doing the female lead. There's a couple other big guys waiting in the wings, so soonish we'll know that. But the exciting thing is that it's the first English language film for Leos Carax. And the first with international stars as well in it. And we feel just really privileged that we had written this story from the ground floor up. It's a really special thing. And Leos Carax is a really special director. So we're just, we're really eagerly anticipating it being shot at the beginning of next year. And we think it is going to be something really special.
And you see, those of us who love and care about you feel that it's exactly what you deserve. You deserve one of the best directors working today, some of the most interesting actors. You deserve to revivify the form of musicals in your own particular language, which I would say the song The Missionary Position and also Probably Nothing are both examples of songs that do something other than what the song seems at first to be doing. One of the things that I want to do is close with the original song that made people sit up and pay attention. The song, of course, is This Town Ain't Big Enough for the Both of Us.
And this is a stripped-down version to just exclusively that we did for you at Bookworm. Yeah.
Yes, this stripped-down acoustic version of This Town Ain't Big Enough for the Both of Us.
Thank you. shower, another shower. You've got to look your best for her. And be clean everywhere. Heartbeat, increasing heartbeat. The rain is pouring on the floor. And down the pool, it's gonna catch it down. No, this town ain't big enough for the both of us. How do you think we was gonna live?
I've been talking with Ron and Russell Mail of the rock group Sparks on the occasion of their new album, Hippopotamus, on the BMG label. Special thanks to guitarists Evan Weiss and Taylor Locke, and thank the two of you for joining me on this first of two shows. Boy, are you going to be knocked out by the second, I promise. Not just you and Russell, but you, the listener. Thank you for coming.
Thanks for having us. Thank you.
Thanks, Michael.
It's really such a pleasure for me. You can comment on today's show at kcrw.com/bookworm. Download the podcast from kcrw.com or from wherever you get your podcasts. You can also listen on demand with KCRW's smartphone apps. My co-producer is Connie Alvarez. Alan Howard is associate producer. The technical director who took on special jobs of recording and re-recording and making sure the recording works is Mario Diaz, with special thanks to my assistant, Sean Sullivan. I'm Michael Silverblatt. Join me again next time on Bookworm.
I am a bookworm, he is a bookworm, she is a bookworm, we are all bookworms. I am a bookworm, we are all bookworms.
Funds for Bookworm are provided in part by Lannan Foundation. This program is produced in the studios of KCRW Santa Monica. You can access archives of all Bookworm programs and podcasts, the most recent ones, at kcrw.com/bookworm. The Bookworm themes were composed and performed by Ron and Russell Mail of Sparks.
I'm Michael Silverblatt. Join me again next time on Bookworm when Ron and Russell Mail of Sparks are our guests.
I want to tell you about a new show from the Financial Times called Life and Art from FT Weekend, hosted by me, Lila Raptopoulos. Life and Art is twice a week. On Mondays, I have a guest on to talk about life and how to live a good one. Everything from winter travel to cooking to living more creatively. And on Fridays, we talk art. Two FT journalists and I discuss a piece of culture that's in the air. New music, movies, and more. Find Life and Art from FT Weekend wherever you listen.